As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America. Coffee brewing on the stove, Pilgrim, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Tuesday, December the 28th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always good news, lots of that. Hard facts, certainly, and workable solutions for you when we can find them and where we can find them. But if you cannot remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely not alone, but you are in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. And if you're part of today's broadcast, you can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join me live on air and from around America and around the world. You can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net, bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without Internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office, Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96 out of Exeter, Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647, that postal zip code. Once again, a big shout-out to Liberty Radio of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, 94.3, Elgin, Texas, 1610 AM, Lompoc, California, and AM 1710, Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting. Become vocal local. Your local listening audiences, our call number reigns throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. All our contact information can be found at the becomevocallocal.com homepage. And you can find all of our show archives stored conveniently for your use and enjoyment at the oraclebroadcasting.com homepage. Precious metals this morning spike higher on pent-up demand and weak dollars. Yep, we'll talk about that in a moment. Google and Apple are pumping the education cash cow. We'll go there as well. The Christmas shopping fizzle. It's all in the news. Interstate commerce, Gustavus Myers, America's true founding fathers. We'll cover all of that again today. Lots more to discuss on that topic. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go into our market report for this morning, Tuesday, December the 28th, 2010. After trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, but 1 hour ago, found gold trading up $18.40 an ounce above the $1,400 peg once again at $1,402.50 an ounce. Silver this morning, strong upward move also. Up 53 cents at $29.81, closing in on 30 bucks again. Platinum up 15 bucks at 1,750, and palladium up 8 bucks at $775 a troy ounce, all those spot prices. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, $1,386.60 for a low. That's about where I logged onto the internet at about 5:30 this morning. $1,406.40 for a high. That was just a little bit before 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. But at $1,402.50, your gold was up year to year $315.40 an ounce at 29.01% return on your investment. The boys in London this morning, the London Gold Fixers, set the price at $1,380.50, and it went straight up 22 bucks anyway. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, the NASDAQ, and the S&P all straight ahead right after these words from our sponsors. Stay tuned. Much to come in today's two-hour broadcast.
U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties, a few years ago. In fact, Moroni's called his work a dire prophecy. And it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica10.com. Although this video may be offensive to some audiences, it's worth checking out. Again, that's www.endofamerica10.com.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42 I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendabyte. To get your Extendabyte, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for 2 people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, December the 28th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Once again, from our market report, let's go back in this morning, active trading, New York City, as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The gold was up $18.40. It was up higher than that earlier, about over $20 upward move. Really nice move in gold this morning. Gold was up $18.40 at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time an hour ago at $1,402.50. Silver up 53 cents a troy ounce at $29.81. For bullion silver, the platinum up 15 bucks at $1,750. And palladium up 8 at $775 an ounce. The equity market this morning, yesterday closing down in the Dow Jones off 18 at 11,555. The NASDAQ yesterday closed up 1 at 2667. The S&P 500 closed up 1 as well at 1,257. Crude oil this morning, another strong move, unfortunately, upward in crude, up another 58 cents at $91.58 a barrel for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. The U.S. dollar index, that trade-weighted basket of currencies. You can find out all about the U.S. dollar index at the ICE.com, the Intercontinental Exchange Inc.'s website. It is their little trade-weighted basket of currencies. You might as well get it right out of their mouth, not mine. But it's up 38 basis points at 79.87. Excuse me, it's down 38 basis points at 79.87. In the Forex markets, wow, everything's straight up. The Canadian loonie up 85 basis points, hits parity with the U.S. dollar again. First time in a long time, you can exchange your dollars straight across the table for Canadian loonies. The Mexican peso bumps up 33 basis points strongly at 8 cents U.S. The euro this morning up as well, up 38 basis points, exchanging against the U.S. dollar at $1.32. The British pound, another strong move for the pound, up 21 basis points at $1.55. And look out, the Swiss franc goes up 124 basis points, exchanging against the U.S. dollar this morning at $1.06. The bond market, the two-year yield, the treasuries, the bonded indebtedness of our decrepit economic basket, the two-year bonds are yielding 0.68%, the 10-year bond is yielding 3.34%, and the 30-year at 4.42%. Of course, that impacts the mortgage markets, where we find the 15-year fixed-rate mortgage moving up from 3.93% a month ago to 4.32% this morning, and the 30-year moving up from 4.55% back to that 4.99%. Yeah, 5% mortgages at a time when we need mortgages the most. Prime rate this morning sits at 3.25%. 3.25% SPDR gold shares appears to be unchanged overnight. Let's jump into that EconoDay calendar right off the website, EconoDay.com, where we find this morning the ICSC Goldman Store Sales is out, their report. The Red Book is out. Case-Shiller is out. And the Consumer Confidence Report should be out as well. So let's go over here. I'm going to open that link in a new tab, and we'll come right back to it and hit this one over here. Catch that one first, the Red Book, okay? So we heard all about the snowstorms in the east. Oh, my God. If it hadn't snowed, we would have had a good Christmas, right? Well, anyway, the Red Book, like the ICSC Goldman reports, a burst of last-minute shopping, making for a plus 4.6% on-year or year-on-year pace for same-store sales. In other words, everybody went out there, I guess, if you can believe this, and bought the hell out of everything, and it bumped things up. Well, I guess that's good. Red Book's month-to-month comparison rose 0.3 in the week to a plus 0.4%, which is an early indication of strength for the government, ex-auto, ex-gas, blah, blah, blah. Next indication whether consumer momentum is on the rise will be the Consumer Confidence Report, and we'll go to that in a moment. Coming back to it, the S&P Case-Shiller 8 Home Price Index, the S&P Case, that would be Standard & Poor's Case-Shiller Home Price Index, tracks monthly changes in the value of the residential real estate in 20 metropolitan regions, Metro 1313. You can find out about that, you know, University of Chicago, Metro 1313. That's your city planners, you know, your garden city people. Anyway, the composite indexes and the regional indexes are seen by the markets as measuring changes in existing home prices and are based on single family home resales. The key component series, they're just going around and around and around. They don't want to tell you that it was down 1.2%, but they give you all the fluff and nonsense to keep you from knowing that. Consumer confidence. The consumer confidence before the announcement. Let's see. We've got consensus here. This isn't supposed to be consensus. This is supposed to be the real deal. Well, we'll have to come back and check with that in a little bit. Try it one more time. The AM Kitco Metals Roundup. Gold jumps, hires traders, eye treasury auctions. This off of Kitco News this morning. COMEX gold futures surged higher on Tuesday in New York following strength, which began in Asian market activity. The bulls garnered strength from a weaker U.S. dollar, which has broken out to the downside from its recent sideways range. In other words, U.S. dollar is going down, gold is going up. Everybody's been moving horizontally, traversing a very narrow band as we go through the holiday weeks, which are typically the time when most people just go away and turn their backs on the markets, enjoy their friends, their family, skiing at Vail, Whistler, and Blackholm. Anyway, traders are eyeing Tuesday's U.S. Treasury 5-year auction amid speculation that strong demand could emerge. So we'll have to find out about that auction coming up later today and see whether or not it did any good for anybody, which would weigh on yields and be dollar negative. Monday's U.S. $35 billion sale of 2-year Treasury detected the highest level in demand in 3 months. a lot of activity in the bond market. U.S. Treasury is continuing its auction Tuesday with a sale of $35 billion 5-year notes and then $29 billion in 7-year notes on Wednesday. Got to finance that Fed somehow. The metals market continues to shrug off weekend news that Chinese authorities tightened monetary policy by 0.25 basis points. The hike had been widely expected, though the timing was somewhat of a surprise. However, that would be an unexpectedly there. However, if the Chinese do eventually gain more credibility as inflation fighters and additional rate hikes unfold later in the year, it could weigh on the metals arena. Well, we'll keep our eyes on that. The U.S. dollar index tumbled to its lowest level since December the 17th on Tuesday as the index broke out to the downside from its recent sideways training. Blah, 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 blah. Well, all that, just say very little. Let's go over here. Take a look at this guy. Not much in the news basket. We're going to spend very little time on it. Khodorkovsky. Wow. Hi, my name's Khodorkovsky. Faces more jail after $29 billion Russian oil theft verdict. This by Henry Meyer and Anna Shiryaveskaya. A name like that, she went into writing. You'd think she would just get a different name, you know. Could have called herself Sherry, or maybe Penny, or you know, something like that. Anyway, we'll pick her article up right after this. Stay tuned.
Wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzy noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So once again, off the Bloomberg website, Henry Meyer and Anna Shira name writing on this article collaboratively. Khodorkovsky faces more jail after $29 billion Russian oil theft. Well, we can all understand $29 billion theft. Mikhail Khodorkovsky, the imprisoned former head of the Yukos Oil Company, faces more jail in her new conviction for embezzling $29 billion of crude oil, a verdict that the governments in the United States and Europe said further weakened the rule of law in Russia. Yeah, that's right. Don't you like it when, you know, the moralistic Americans go around the world and tell everybody about the rule of law? The rule of law, yeah. Uh-huh. The trial was a charade of justice. Here's a quote. The charges were absolutely false, but I fear the sentencing will be very real. Vadim Klyuvantkakh, the lead defense lawyer, said yesterday in a statement, the defense team plans to appeal the decision, he told reporters outside the courtroom. There isn't the slightest doubt that there was a pressure on the court. Okay, it wasn't the slightest doubt that there was pressure on the court. Khodorkovsky, 47 years of age, was due for release in October of 2011. Once Russia's richest man, he has called the charges retribution for political opposition to Prime Minister Vladimir Putin, who was president at the time of his 2003 arrest. During Putin's presidency, Yukos, once Russia's largest company by market value, was declared bankrupt with about $30 billion of tax claims and sold off in pieces. Well, Hillary Clinton had to get her 2 cents worth in, and she did. The case, quote, raises serious questions about selective prosecution and about the rule of law being overshadowed by political considerations, close quote. Hillary Billery and Nod said, well, case raises serious questions about selective prosecution. Sounds like the last 10 years of our lives, doesn't it? And about the rule of law being overshadowed by political consideration. Take it up with Janet Napolitano, Hillary. We're tired of listening to your mouth spout. Commodities beat financial assets, making silver, zinc top picks for 2011. Listen up, investors. Nicholas Larkin, good writer here. Fom Dianigil and Tony Drybus, writing collaboratively for Bloomberg New News. At a time when money managers' concerns have swung between record government stimulus and the potential for a new recession, investors remain bullish on commodities that beat stocks and bonds for a second year. Where are you going to put your money? You're going to put it in metals? You're going to put it in paper? That's your big question for this morning. The benchmark Standard & Poor's GSCI gauge advanced 20%, more than 9.1% gain in the MSCI World Index of Stocks, and 5.3% return on a Bank of America Merrill Lynch index of treasuries. You get a worse bunch of recommendations than that. These bunch of pirates. Currency traders are betting on a stronger dollar, sending a contrarian signal because commodities moved in an opposite direction to the currency in 16 of the past 20 quarters, data compiled by Bloomberg show. Silver and an investment and an industrial material. Now get these numbers, okay? Got your pencils out? Get these numbers, crib them down, you know, write them on the napkin there by your coffee cup. Silver, an investment and an industrial metal will jump as much as 37% next year. Now it's $29 this morning. 37% more, that'd be a third more. That's another 10 bucks. That means that they're saying here that we could be looking at $40 silver by the end of 2011. Leading gains in the 15 commodities covered in a Bloomberg survey of more than 100 analysts, traders, and investors. Zinc, this year's worst performing metal, will appreciate by 21%. So if you are interested in zinc. They're anticipating a 21% climb there. Arabica coffee, thank God for the good news, which reached a 13-year high last week, will be the weakest performer, adding no more than about 7%. So I can hope that my coffee is not going to continue to go up and up and up at the grocery. Maybe we could get it back into the Starbucks ground beans. The strength in demand has been a surprise, considering that we've just come out of the worst recession since the 1930s. Boy, this person's out to lunch. Said London-based Roxana Mohammadian Molina. What a confused life she's led. One of a team of 18 analysts at Barclays Capital, that would be Rothschild's, who correctly called the bottom in oil, and copper last year, she said, or he said, Roxana, that's got to be a woman, said by phone December the 22nd, the bank says U.S. natural gas will be the only one of 25 commodity prices it follows that will average less next year. So get out of natural gas, all right? Rothschilds tell you to do it, do it. Global stocks are still about $11 trillion short of the record, $62.6 trillion of market capitalization reached in October of 2007. Data compiled by Bloomberg shows over the same period, commodity assets under management rose about 80% to $354 billion and will attract a total of $60 billion in new money this year, the second most after 2009, Barclays estimates. Of course, Barclays and State Street Global Advisors, that's Rothschild money. The S&P GSCI index is extending last year's 50% advance, which has also beat the 27% jump in the MSCI, blah, blah, blah. Goldman's picks? What does Goldman Sachs think we ought to do with our money? Goldman's commodity gaining the most will be those in which China is least self-sufficient, they say. Least self-sufficient. And with the smallest spare production capacity, according to Goldman Sachs analyst, led by London-based Jeffrey Curry, oil, copper, cotton, soybeans, and platinum are the bank's top picks. You got that? Write that down on your notepad there. Oil, copper, cotton, soybeans, platinum. Top picks, Goldman. Goldman on December the 13th forecast an 18% advance in raw materials, 18% advance in raw materials in 12 months, led by a 28% gain in precious metals. Take gold, $1,400 times 0.28. And where do they think it's going to go by the end of the year? Silver, the precious metal most used in industry, will rise 37% to as high as $40 an ounce next year, from $29 an ounce on December the 24th. The survey shows palladium, used in catalytic converters for cars, will jump as much as 18% to $900 an ounce from $764 today. All right? You think these metals are done yet? How long ago now? It was less than 6 months ago. We were looking at $499 for palladium. All right? This morning at 764, they're saying 900 by the year end. Wow. There's still a lot of room for growth there. Investors will be cycling out of gold, they say, however, and into silver, platinum, and palladium if financial and economic conditions improve. So watch your financial and economic conditions. I don't see whether they're going to improve or not, but they might. But they say here that investors will be cycling out of gold and into silver, platinum, and palladium. Go back up on the Kitco website and look over on the right-hand side, scroll down a little bit, and click on the annual charts for silver, platinum, and palladium and see how well they've done in the last 12 months and then make your plans accordingly. You know, unfortunately, we never seem to plan ahead to get ahead. We just look back and wish we'd had. Anyway, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Great talk radio. You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So we'll just follow along and pay close attention as we move into the first quarter of 2011 straight ahead coming up next week, and keep our eyes on the on these marketplaces and see what's going to happen. There's lots of various different kinds of prognostications coming out, but a lot of them are pointing at the commodities. So what that tells me is that in the main, the various and sundry investors are looking away from the U.S. dollar, and I certainly hope you aren't the last to do that. It would be a real shame to have you lose your savings and everything that you worked so hard for and wind up holding these useless pieces of paper at the last moment trying to get the hell out of them. Continuing copper copper use will outpace supply by 825,000 tons next year, more than twice the inventory in London Metal Exchange monitored warehouses. Now you got to know that London Metal Exchange monitored warehouses are basically under the auspices of most likely the Rothschilds. Of course, this is for being reported by Barclays Capital. Prices, which reached a record of $9,392 a ton, that's a couple of bucks, on December the 21st for copper in London, will rise to $10,475 next year. The Bloomberg survey shows zinc will be the best performing industrial metal. All right. Zinc will be the best-performing industrial metal, advancing as much as 21% to $2,800 a ton from 2308 in London on December the 24th. Now, of course, you probably wouldn't gonna go one ringy dingy, two ringy dingies, please deliver a ton of zinc to my driveway. But it gives you an idea that there's other things out there besides the obvious gold, silver, platinum, palladium, and rhodium. Demand may also come from new, now watch this, new exchange-traded products, okay? So they're going to put in some more of these, you know, spiders on the corner of the web, get people to go in there and get back into the marketplace, the electronic trading. This is the only place these guys really get the chance to make a lot of money off you, is once you start buying and selling on these exchange-traded things, you know, this is where they get a chance to make a broker's commission on both ends. Yeah, anyway, weather markets, can you believe it? A stronger dollar may also be trumped by weather in agricultural markets, all right? We talked about that in the past, cat bonds, catastrophe bonds, where you bet against God. I wouldn't put too much money on that bet myself. We don't see an imminent threat to global commodity prices in 2011, said Evan Smith, who helps manage $900 million at U.S. Global Investors in San Antonio. You will still have concern over currency stability. And in emerging economies, there's the wealth effect that's driving demand. And, of course, demand is always the thing that we pay attention to. Here's somebody building demand for their own products, and that's Google, all right? Google, Scroogle, Dogpile, and Webferret. Well, Google, everybody got up now, and they've had a chance to look at Walter Burian and his partner's video, Corporation Nation. See a show of hands for everybody that's been through the 1 through 20 parts of that. I hope you have. I hope you have. I hope you were looking at the things that all of the various corporations, including CalPERS, were investing in. And remember the discussion right there off the video about Google and Apple, you know. Everybody's investing in Google and Apple, especially the schools, the school teachers, the retirement funds. Well, Google pushes educational software to schools, colleges, through their app store, this article by Douglas McMillan. Of course, it works to the educators. It works to the educators' own financial well-being to push the stocks and the companies that they hold, right? So you would only expect them to push Google and Apple products through the app store. Google Inc. is talking with educational software companies to help build a marketplace for online learning programs. This would be something that Vicki Davis could probably tell us all about, channelingreality.com. Google Inc. is talking with educational software companies to help build a marketplace for online learning programs, an industry whose value may approach $5 billion this year. I can assure you that all across America, all these schools, all these pensions are going to be piling into Google and Apple in advance of this opportunity to profit. Games and instructional tools for teachers from companies such as Grokkit. That's an interesting word, Grokkit. Grokkit. Grokkit Inc. Everybody remember grokking? Grokking, G-R-O-C-K. It goes all the way back to the 70s. You'd have to grok that, huh? And Aviary Inc. are already offered in the Google Apps Marketplace, an online store that opened in March. Google, the world's largest search engine, also getting into wind power and the grid, all right, seeks to lure, look at the words now, seeks to lure at their fishing line out there, got their worm dangling in the pool, seeks to lure more educational developers and is stepping up efforts to generate revenue from the project, company executives say, and they can do that. They can do that because they're in every school and in every library throughout everything from pre-K all the way up through the highest levels of academia. Software sales for U.S. schools and colleges. You want to know why the children all got their noses in the computers? This is why. Software sales for U.S. schools and colleges this year should surpass the 2009 total of $4.6 billion. Software, all right? According to Parthenon Group, LLC, that could provide a new growth stream for Google, which gets most of its sales from search advertising. The company works with schools, providing free word processing, email, and spreadsheet programs to students and teachers. How many times have you seen in the newspaper locally where Microsoft has partnered with some of your schools and they've got their computers flowing into the school system. And Google's right behind them. Apple's right behind that. All right? They're in there. They got this very deep well called public education, the number one tax-funded source of things in this country. It certainly is in my area. 90% of my property taxes assessed against my land go to pay for these schools, all right? Anyway, the company works with schools, again, providing free word processing, email, and spreadsheet programs to students and teachers. Now, it wants to help outside developers sell applications to educators. So Google created the pipeline, and now they're bringing in the rest of the herd. If we can provide access to education apps to our 10 million users in thousands of schools, 10 million users in thousands of schools, can you get an idea of the vastness of the marketplace here? Then that would be a win all around, said Obadiah Greenberg, and I can assure you he's not Irish, Google's business development manager for education. One of these days we're going to have to visit with our in-basket. I got a great email from one of our listeners that laid out the Jewish connection to just damn near everything internet. Wow. Unbelievable. What an eye-opener that was. Most software makers with products on Google Apps Marketplace now collect all revenue from sales generated through the site. In the coming months, Mountain View, California-based Google, plans to begin a 20% share of sales. Plans to begin taking a 20% share of sales. So that's your brokerage, all right? They created the pipeline. They got everybody used to dealing with Google in schools. And then as the oil starts to flow through the pipeline, they're going to take 20% right off the top. Programs in the apps market can be operated inside the private web domains many schools have set up with Google. Private web domains many schools have set up with Google, said James Birchfield, instructional technology specialist at the Harwich Public Schools in Massachusetts. Just the other day, we were talking about this, all of the graft and corruption as all of these for-profit colleges and schools are piling in, hiring ex-congressmen to go and lobby the legislation for them. All right, fits right in with our study of Gustavus Myers, The Great American Fortunes. I tell you, they're mining an acre of diamonds here. A teacher logs into Google Apps account, and they can access anything in the marketplace, said Birchfield, who is known by colleagues as the Google Guru. The Google Guru, all right? It gives you a one-stop shop kind of thing. We know we can integrate it, and we know where it's all saved. Aviary education, like bird education, right? Bird brains. One of the first education apps offered on the site is a free web-based tool that lets students edit images and audio recordings in a private environment that can be monitored by a teacher. It's often used by teachers who want students to record class presentations and share them online. And there's more. The more they promote Google services in the classroom, the larger the audience we get. Well, that's your tax dollars at work. That's Google in their marketing, working with your students and the teachers and the whole system, lying in their pockets, and the children come out dumber and dumber and dumber.
U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties, a few years ago. In fact, Moronis called his work a dire prophecy. And it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica10.com. Although this video may be offensive to some audiences, it's worth checking out. Again, that's www.endofamerica10.com.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How is it made, Don?
Well, Extendabite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42 I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendabite. To get your Extendabite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for 2 people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEEDS. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
Come explore the human stargate and what lies beyond. Walk the rebel path. Sundays.
And so I can see why Conor Day was delaying the release of this consumer confidence report. Things don't look particularly good here. They were looking for a consensus range from 56 to 58. The consensus put out earlier was 57.4. They actually came in at 52.5. Here's the highlight. Hit by a surprisingly negative assessment of the jobs market, the Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Index posts an unexpected decline. Unexpectedly, no. Down nearly 2 points to 52.5 of the report's roughly 3,000 initial sample, 46.8% say jobs are currently hard to get in what is the worst reading since February. Wow. Other readings also show deterioration. Fewer say jobs are currently plentiful, only a minuscule 3.9%, while in readings for the six-month outlook, fewer see more jobs and more see fewer jobs. So it sounds like few and fewer. Not to say fewer. That's different. That's another story. The negative assessment on jobs spill into assessments on both business conditions, where only 7.5% describe conditions as good. Only less than 10% describe conditions as good. And on income prospects, where only 9.9% are optimistic, still again, falling shy of 10%. These last two readings are among the lowest ever in 43 years of data. Buying plans for cars fell back, while buying plans for home, only 1.8%, remain near a record low. You take 100 people, and fewer than 2 plan on buying a home, right? Add in rising inflation expectations up 0.2 to a plus 5.3%, and I know that's a low number. And this report stands out as especially negative in what has been a run of strong data centered in the consumer. Unfortunately, another standout negative has been in the monthly employment report, and today's report points to another disappointment for payroll growth and the unemployment rate. Stocks are moving lower following today's report, one which may also begin to limit expectations for holiday spending. So that's that report. It's no wonder they delayed it over 15 minutes. Anyway, it's out and it's in the marketplace today, and the markets are already responding. The dollar falls the most in 2 weeks versus the euro before data on U.S. home values. The dollar weakened for a fourth consecutive day against the euro on speculation. A report will show U.S. home prices decline. All right? We'll cover that one after the next break, maybe. The dollar fell versus all but three of its most 16 traded peers. As economists said, the S&P Case-Shiller Index of Property Values will show its first year-over-year drop since January. We already covered that. The franc strengthened to a record against the U.S. currency amid optimism. Switzerland's growth will encourage its central banks to raise rates. And this morning, the Swiss franc trading against the U.S. dollar in the Forex market at $1.06 apiece. The housing market still weak. The dollar dropped 0.8% to $1.33 per euro as of 7 o'clock a.m. in New York. After earlier touching $1.33, blah, 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 it's all just percentage points after the decimal, blah, blah, blah. Home prices, the gauge of residential real estate in 20 cities lost 0.2%. Well, you get the idea. It just is not really good financial news. Got some very interesting packages in my post office box in the last couple of days. Went back over and checked it one more time. As I mentioned yesterday, one of our listeners up in New York has been doing a little bit of time on the archives bin and is putting together CDs of the 50-part series that we did on law, the history of law, sans the commercials and all the breaks, and hopefully he bleeps and gets rid of some of the market news too and just sticks with the teaching segments. But that'll be an interesting series. I haven't had a chance to listen to the two CDs that he sent me, but I'm sure they're going to be great. Got a huge package from our friend Daryl Eberhardt. I've talked with Daryl recently and hope to have him back on the air with us again. We might take a week or so and do a series on more from the Vatican side of things. But he sent me a book that he's told me about for years, but I've never gotten myself. But he sent me a copy of The Vatican's Holocaust by Avro Manhattan, the best-selling officer of the Vatican in world politics, the sensational account of the most horrifying religious massacres of the 20th century. Of course, Avro Manhattan, a world-renowned authority on Roman Catholicism and politics, a resident of London during World War II, operated a radio station called Radio Freedom, broadcasting to occupied Europe, also wrote political commentaries for the BBC. Besides lecturing and writing short stories, essays, articles, and novels, and so on, he also has written several bestsellers. But this will be an interesting book to read. It's a sensational account of the most horrifying religious massacres of the 20th century, startling revelations of forced conversions, mass murder of non-Catholics, Catholic extermination camps, disclosure of Catholic clergy as commandants of concentration camps, documented with names, dates, places, pictures, and eyewitness testimony. And this is not a book for the weak of heart. The photographs in there are quite graphic. Also sent me a copy of this interesting little book called Smokescreens, Understanding the Dangers of Today's Call for Christian Unity. Christian Unity, you know, this is the Big Ten Theory. Learn the Hidden Purpose of the Ecumenical Movement. I'll be looking forward to reading that. He's also sent along another one of these chick publications. They're kind of like comic books for adults, and they go through a variety of things. It's the Crusader Comics. I don't necessarily agree with the viewpoints, but it is an interesting and a novel way to teach. For those of you out there that might be cartoonists, you might think about that. Sometimes if you can't get the word across to the people that you meet at the gas station or other people, maybe if we had a series of comic books. You know, it's kind of like grim humor, but if we were looking at the advance of the new legal order and the new world order from the eyes of a comic book, you know, how many people grew up with the Sergeant Rock comics, you know, Beetle Bailey and the rest of them? Maybe we could put it out in comic books and it'd be easier for people to understand. I don't know. Hard to say. Back to the discussion that we've been carrying on here for days now out of the History of the Great American Fortunes by Gustavus Myers. This book, originally published in 1907, copyright then, and the edition that I have open in front of me, a hardbound from the library of one of our friends, Bill. Just I don't give the last names out on the air. I've never asked for the permission to do that. but surely appreciate receiving it. This is a modern library edition, and I'm diving into the Vanderbilt Fortune's increasing manifold, and there's an interesting little section here on the wisdom of grand larceny. You know, you wonder, oh, this hubris, you know. How is it possible that Lloyd Blankfein could come up in front of the Congress, the congressional inquiry there, and just sit there with his deadpan face as he's, you know, he's basically being accused of ripping off billions and billions while Bernie Madoff and company sit in jail or swing from ropes, all right? Well, here's a little bit. Help us to understand that. This, again, from Gustavus Myers, the wisdom of grand larceny. The wisdom of grand larceny. Now it was that one could see with greater clearness than ever before how the mercenary ideal of the ruling class was working out to its inevitable conclusions. Society had made money its god and property its yardstick. Society had made money its god and property its yardstick. Even in the its administration of justice, theoretically supposed to be equal, it had made justice, quote-unquote, an expensive luxury available in actual practice to the rich only. We think everything that's happening today is the first time it's ever happened. Are you kidding? Not a chance, all right? They just pull this stuff out in every generation, dust it off, same tricks, new lies for old, all right? So that if you don't feel as though you have any access to justice in our courts, don't feel alone. You've been that way for a long time. Continues here. He says, the defrauder of large sums could, if prosecuted, use a part of that plunder, easily engage a corps of shrewd, experienced lawyers, get evidence manufactured, fight out the case on technicalities, drag it out along for years, call in political and social influences, and almost invariably escape it in the end. And so even though we hear about this fellow, you know, the head of the Yukos, formerly the wealthiest man in the Soviet Union, Russia, Mararusita, sitting in the jail here, rotting it out, you know, they're talking about it. He wasn't going along with the new idea of modernization. And that this is some kind of a breach of their rule of law, all right? Well, maybe their rule of law says that all creeps and criminals, all gangsters, thieves, and banksters get away scot-free, and maybe Putin was on to something by putting this guy in the can. We'll be right back.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to oraclebroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And I'm confident that I was certainly not the first, but I'm the first of, that I know of, back in 2004, 2005, having read the encyclopedia articles that I had and gone on then and studied out more from the sources that I found there. I'd never even heard of who John Maynard Keynes was. You know, I didn't have a college education. I wasn't raised up in the economy and stuff like that. I wasn't in that end of the financial business whatsoever. But I just couldn't believe this guy. I couldn't believe his hubris. I couldn't believe that anybody would even follow his shtick, you know. But as we see here, this idea of the wisdom of grand larceny, this article from the chat room by Lou Rockwell and Company, Theft by Mercantilism, Old and New. Now, I don't know how many of you were listening to Saul Venuer's broadcast yesterday out of Denmark, but he invited myself and Chris Kemp to come on with him. And part of our lengthy six-hour discussion, well, actually it was a four-hour discussion there, just pretty much a carry-on from the broadcast yesterday morning, Saul Venuer, you can find him. I don't know exactly what. Well, I think pretty soon you're going to be able to find him on the Orion radio network. But anyway, this article by LouRockwell.com, Theft by Mercantilism, Old and New. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. And of course, Gary North, he's been around since, the beginning of time. Anyway, older than dirt Gary here. But he writes well, and he writes this. He says, "Thou shalt not steal except by majority vote. The gospel according to Keynes, chapter 1, verse 1. All right? Keynesianism, and that is the way you say it, by the way. Keynesianism is an economic philosophy based on the idea that the free market required intervention from the civil government in order to maintain justice and efficiency. The free market is both inefficient and unfair to the common man, Keynesianism teaches." All right? And so does mercantilism. The author writes, Mr. North, "Keynesianism is almost universally believed today. And the reason why it's universally believed today is because this is the model that's taught in school, Dorothy. This is what's taught at Harvard. Keynesianism is almost universally believed today. Therefore, mercantilism is almost universally believed. This connection is not intuitive, but is nonetheless true. What the economics textbooks do not say, because they're written mostly by Keynesians, is that Keynesianism is mercantilism with equations. The textbooks are officially anti-mercantilistic. There is a reason for this. Mercantilism is officially wrong because it is undeniably old. Textbooks promote that which is new. The latest is the greatest. Mercantilism was believed from 1650 to 1750. It is therefore outmoded." All right? It ruled for 100 years just like Keynesianism has. But it's outmoded, right? "Keep your eyes on the modifications," they say here. It says, "Yet it is in fact the dominant economic philosophy today, but it operates undercover. The cover is called managed trade." So there's a difference between free trade and managed trade, free markets and fair trade. I don't know, sometimes called fair trade. All right? We all know it to be NAFTA and GATT and all the rest of that stuff. Continuing a little bit, it says here, "A modern mercantilism, again, is free trade with modifications for justice's sake, and justice is defined operationally as protecting a politically favored voting bloc. Keep your eyes on the modification. Here is what the sleight of hand. Here is where the sleight of hand operates. Here is where slick talking fellows from the best economics department separate the rubes from their money." And then you can go on and read the rest of it. It's up on LouRockwell.com. theft by mercantilism, old and new. And back into our text here, looking into the Vanderbilt fortunes, all right, it's increasing manifold at this point in the discussion. But beyond this power of money, to make a mockery of justice was a still greater, though more subtle factor, which was an ever and invaluable aid to the great thief. And boy, were there a bunch of great thieves, and we'll find out about them right after this.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so welcome back to our Tuesday, December the 28th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, casting off the shoreline and sailing into our second hour of today's two-hour broadcast, the first hour of variety of news out of the Bloomberg website and Econo Day and elsewhere like we like to do. And now diving back into Gustavus Myers, The History of Great American Fortunes. And we're in a section here, The Vanderbilt Fortune Increases Manifold, The Wisdom of Grand Larceny. Right? I don't recall the name of the host now, but a couple of weeks ago, several weeks back, he made a comment on his air that I really liked, and I've taken it on for myself. But in this new legal economic order that we find ourselves living in, you know, we've got an entirely new moral ethos. Profit, good. Loss, bad. If it makes it a profit, it's good. It's okay. If it's a loss, it's a sin. Avoid loss at all costs, you know. take every precaution against loss. But here, back to the article, or actually this is a book, again, published originally copyright 1907. This volume, the latest edition, published in 1937, and I've got it open in front of me on the desk, hardbound, modern library edition. But beyond this power of money to make a mockery of justice was a still greater, though more subtle, factor which was ever an invaluable aid to the great thief. It's this idea of lawyering up, you know. You can buy the best evidence you can ever buy. You can go and get all the legislators and the committee men to make their reports, and they can have all their, you know, photographs with the circles and arrows and diagrams on the back. Remember Alice's restaurant? Works for him. But continuing, every section of the trading class was permeated with a profound admiration, often tangibly expressed, for the craft that got away with an impressive pile of loot. Want to know why there's no indictments? Why there are no trials? Everybody, apparently, from, you know, I don't know, $250,000 a year annual income up, they admire these batards. Wow. You see how much money Blankfein got away this time? Well, honey, let's buy some more Goldman Sachs stock. Amazing. British Petroleum, what a hoot. Really got the blogosphere upside down. The world was going to end, right? Transatlantic current going to come to an end, you know, it's going to stop, you know, and all the birds are going to die in the sea and the fish are going to, it's going to go dead and everything, right? They loved it. BP stock back in good condition again. The contempt felt for the pickpocket was the antithesis of the general mercantile admiring view of the man who stole in grand style, especially when he was one of their own class. Think of all of the horrors going through the TSA. Backscattered. The rich don't have to worry about that. They got their Cessna private jet sitting out there on the apron just waiting for them to climb on board. They don't go through the TSA. They arrive in their Mercedes-Benz or their Bugatti or their Ferrari or whatever. They walk over and they say hi to somebody, maybe the little wench that serves them finger food while they're flying, and they climb on board their own jet and leave. They don't go through this garbage. That's for the little people. That's for the people that smell on a hot summer day. The contempt felt for the pickpocket was the antithesis of the general mercantile admiring view of the man who stole in grand style, especially when he was one of their own class. In speaking of the piratical operations of this or that magnate, that would be the magnates, you know, the magnates, it was common to hear many businessmen interject even while denouncing him, "Well, I wish I was as smart as he. I wish I could get away with that kind of crime. Boy, if I could have figured that scam out, I would have run it myself." These same men, when serving on juries, were harsh in their verdicts on poor criminals and unctuously flattered themselves with being and were represented as the upholders and conservers of law and moral conduct. You see, back at this time, the time of the Astors and the Vanderbilts, you truly did get a trial by a jury of your peers. No, the riffraff aren't going to be sitting there in the witness box when any of the big guys are on trial. It'll be their peers. Their peers. It's like the peerage in England, all right? The peers. Continuing, these same men, while serving our juries again, were harsh in their verdicts on poor criminals and unctuously flattered themselves with being and were represented as the upholders and the conservers of law and moral conduct. And we hear Hillary Clinton coming out today decrying this poor thief of billions of dollars worth of oil over in Russia, you know, as a breach of the rule of law. Departing from the main facts, as this philosophical digression may seem, it is essential for a number of reasons. One of these is the continual necessity for keeping in mind a clear, balanced perspective. Right? So our man here, Gustavus Myers, was a muckraker of the First Order in his day, one of the first. He was originally populist, then became socialist, and then as he watched the roll up to German National Socialist Workers Party. He turned away from that. All right, socialism. We don't know. I don't know what he became later in life. You know what kind of a political leaning he had. But he was a muckraker. He dug in. He went for the facts. He was a searcher for truth, like so many of us. All right, we listen to everybody, read anything, watch any video, believe nothing until we can prove it in our own research. And boy, does he footnote his books. Continuing here, their methods at basis were not a growth independent of those of the business world. One of these is the continual necessity for keeping in mind a clear, balanced perspective. Another lies in the need of presenting aright the conditions in which Vanderbilt and magnates of his type, these would be the captains of finance and industry, in which Vanderbilt and the magnates of his type were produced. Their methods, at basis, were not a growth independent of those of the business world and isolated from them. They were simply a development, and not merely one of standards as applied to morals, but of the mechanisms of the social and industrial organization itself. Right? You've got to put yourself in the time frame. So many times when I've been trying to figure out some kind of a historical puzzle, I always had to go back and resort to the tool of creating timelines. What was happening at this time in England? What was happening at this very same time in France and Germany and the Netherlands, elsewhere, you know, South America, North America, using timelines so you get a better understanding. What was happening? You know, I think read about Auguste Comte, you know. And if you're sitting there reading about Auguste Comte in the 1850s and you're thinking about automobiles and electric lighting and computers and typewriters and all, well, you're wrong. You're wrong. He was sitting up there in his little garret looking out and he could hear the horses go by and carriages and, you know, a lamp and quills and all that. You know, he didn't have his cross pen and pencil set. These were simply a development and not merely one of the standards as applied to morals, but of the mechanism of the social and industrial organization itself. Unheard of, unprecedented gains in wealth as new technologies emerged, as new needs emerged, as demand was streaming for new products and new industry, and they were reaping the fortune. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
A wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties, a few years ago. In fact, Moroni's called his work a dire prophecy. And it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica10.com. Although this video may be offensive to some audiences, it's worth checking out. Again, that's www.endofamerica10.com.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcast.
Let's go back to our discussion here again, Gustavus Myers. There, we're looking at the Vanderbilt fortune. This would be the Commodore Vanderbilt fortune increasing manifold. All right, this guy was getting rich, big time, and he was a real unscrupulous fellow. He'd cut your heart out. All right, get over the top of you. But anyway, continuing it. Finally, Myers writes, it is advisable to give flashlight glimpses into the modes and views of the time. Inasmuch as it was Vanderbilt's day that the great struggle between the old principle of competition, as upheld by the small capitalist, and the superseding one of consolidation, as incarnated in him and others, took on vigorous headway. What do we find here? Something old, something new? Okay, this idea, first of all, of the small capitalists. I've tried to draw it out as a distinction from time to time, you know, when Karl Mordecai Marx was writing, you know, he was writing against the proletariat and the bourgeoisie, right? The bourgeoisie, the capitalist. It's not quite the same in mind, but it's similar. But who are these bourgeoisie? They're the entrepreneurs, all right? Now, these are not the same, really, as Astor and Carnegie and Vanderbilt and Gould and the others. Not at all. The middle class is not the wage earner. It's not the proletariat. It's those people that own businesses and factories and foundries, etc., that provide work for the slave class, all right? Certainly, the Vanderbilts had a lot of work, but they would hardly or scarcely even know what was going on. They'd buy a railway, and they're sitting there in New York City, and they were watching the stock tickers, and they were running all kinds of deals, and they were sending their lobby groups down to Washington, D.C., but would they ever be out and stand on that dirty railroad? Oh, God, no. What a miserable thing to do, standing out there in the sunshine. They might go zipping along in their private car, but they never swung a mallet, never drove a spike, although, you know, the Commodore, he started out with his little steamship business. Even though they call it and say that he built steamships, I wouldn't imagine he built any steamships. He might have built one or two, knocked together some little boat and put a steam motor in it. You know, and off he went to New Jersey. But continuing here again, it says the great struggle between the old principle of competition, oh, that's a right noble thing, competition, you know, as upheld by the small capitalists. And so we compete one with another. You've got your hardware store, they've got their hardware store, and we offer sales and deals and specials, and we do decorations in the front window and that sort of thing. And that's good old wholesome, you know, small town, hometown, you know, competition between small capitalists. And the superseding one of consolidation. Now, you know, if up on the Bloomberg News, we report all the time that this is the decade of mergers and acquisitions. Actually, the previous decade was that, but we're continuing it. Mergers and acquisitions. We're hearing about it all the time as the big beast system continues to gobble up the smaller producers. All right. But it's a new idea coming on here of consolidation as incarnated in him and others. And it took on headway. Now, let's continue. The buying of laws, all right? The buying of laws, interesting. and again, we're going to go into this interstate commerce here in a moment, but protest as it did against Vanderbilt's merging of railroads, the middle class found itself quite helpless. The middle class found itself quite helpless. In rapid succession, he put through one combination after another and caused theft after theft to be legalized, utterly disdainful of criticism or opposition. In state after state, he bought the repeal of old laws or the passage of new laws until he was vested with authority to connect various railroads that he had secured between Buffalo and Chicago into one line with nearly 1,300 miles of road. Now, we don't have time to read through this whole book as far as this guy Vanderbilt is concerned. But he would buy up this little railroad, and this is how they were all originally built, you know, right down the 4th Avenue in New York, and then he would buy up the one that went along the East River, and then he would combine them into two, and then he would drive out his competitors, and then he just kept expanding. And so here now we're finding him, he's got a 1,300-mile run between Buffalo, New York, and Chicago into one line. The commercial classes were scared at the sight of such a great stretch of railroad, then considered an immense line, in the hands of one man. So you can imagine, you know, when Warren Buffett comes out with his little pink bow tie, everybody trembles. If Buffett's going to come again, you get out of the business, get out of his way. He'll walk over the top of you. Warren Buffett, Maurice Strong, George Soros, you know, the Rothschilds, all the rest of them. If they're again, you get out of it. You know, the Rockefellers want what you got. You better back out. In the hands of one man, audacious, all-conquering, with power to enforce tribute at will. The power to enforce tribute at will. That's the lobbying. Again, Vanderbilt patronized the printing presses. You know, Rupert Murdoch running the press. Who are the rest of them? I'll think of them in a moment. The seven big hands in the media business. And many more. Millions of stock, all fictitious capital, were added to the already flooded capital of Lakeshore. I better start that again because I'm not going in the right direction. All right. Something else being said here. Again, Vanderbilt patronized the printing presses. Now what are we talking about? We're talking about the printing of stocks. All right. And they've got the printing presses running wide open buying, you know, for treasuries and bonds. But no, he patronizes the printing presses. And he's creating stocks. He buys one company, and then he creates a new stock on the combination and puts that out and drives all of the stock way, 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 way up and drives out all the people that were in it before and continues to amass greater and greater fortunes. So all the millions of stock, all the fictitious capital were added to the already flooded capital of Lakeshore and Michigan Southern Railroad Company. Of the total, 62 million of capital stock in 1871. Remember, people at this time were working a whole week for $8 and change. $62 million. We're talking in comparisons, we're talking trillions here. You might as well be. Completely beyond anyone else's reach. Fully one half was based upon nothing but the certainty of making it value as a dividend payer by the exaction of higher freight and passenger rates. So he'd print up all this stock. He would commandeer the printing presses. They would create new stock, and he would run it up to $62 million of capital stock, and it's based on nothing except the possibility of the certainty of making it valuable as a dividend payer by the exaction of high freight and passenger rates. A little later, the amount was run up to $73 million, and this was increased subsequently. Vanderbilt now had a complete railroad system from New York to Chicago with extensive offshoots. It is at this point that we have to deal with a singular commendation of his methods thrust forward glibly from that to today. True, his eulogists admitted then, as they admit now, Vanderbilt was not over-scrupulous in getting property that he wanted. In other words, he'd walk right over the top of you. But consider, they urge, the improvements he brought about on the railroads that came into his possession. the renovation of the roadbed, the institution of new locomotives and cars, the tearing down of the old worn-out stations. This has been the praise showered upon him and his methods. However, again, here's the intrepid muckraker. Inquiry, however, reveals that this appealing picture, like all others of this sort, has been ingenuously distorted. So he wasn't the kindly philanthropist that he was painted in the books that you may have read. We'll be right back.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEEDS. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
All right, so continuing back into this inquiry into the nature of the Vanderbilt fortune as it increased manifold back at the time of railroad expansion. And we're talking about the Industrial Revolution really coming on us and at us, and the Civil War, etc., coming into the time of the Credit Mobilier and all of that, which precedes the Interstate Commerce Clause or the Interstate Commerce Commission. All right, so this is, we're all on topic here. We're just having to go a long ways to get to the answer. Inquiry, however, again, reveals that this appealing picture, like all others of its sort, has been ingenuously distorted. Or you could just simply say it's disingenuous. The first consideration was that if the dividends were to be paid on the huge amount of fabricated stock, the road of necessity had to be put into a condition of fair efficiency to meet or surpass the competing facilities of other railroads running to Chicago, all right? So the first thing they did had to do is they had to Band-Aid and baling wire it together, which they did. Second, the number of damage claims for accident or loss of life arising from improper appliances and insufficient safeguards was so great that it was held cheaper in the long run to just spend the millions for improvements. There's nothing charitable about it. The guy was just watching his bottom line, and why wouldn't he? You know, why wouldn't he? Public funds for private use? Instead of paying for these improvements with even a few millions of the proceeds of the watered stock, however, Vanderbilt and all other railroad magnates in like case did the same. They forced the public treasury to defray a large part of the cost. And we're going to see the same sort of thing happening in California as they try and build their little high-speed rail from point A to O2 short of point B away. And this is the sort of stuff that we got to deal with all the time. They're reaching into our pockets, and they're making money on our dime, all right? And then we turn it back over to the capital east. You look at the Nasco Corridor. You know, Juan Carlos of Spain, you know, was in behind all of that. The buying of Chicago Skyway, the selling off of the parking meters in Daly, Chicagoland, you know? same story, over and over again. A good illustration of this method was the improvement of its passenger terminus in New York City. The entrance of the New York Central and the Harlem Railroads is by way of Park Avenue. This franchise, as we have seen, was obtained by bribery in 1832, but it was a qualified franchise. It reserved certain nominal restrictions in behalf of the people by inserting the right of the city to order the removal of the tracks at any time they became an obstruction. These terms were objectionable to Vanderbilt. A perpetual franchise could be capitalized for far more than a limited or a qualified one. A perpetual franchise was what he wanted. I'll spare you the details, but the gory details, but a perpetual franchise was just exactly what he got, okay? So, you know, you just look at this thing and think about it real carefully. Here's a little bit more. They denounced Vanderbilt. Well, let's see if we should go there. Scooping up more railroads. Let's go to this one. Vanderbilt did not wait long. The ink on the $44 million had barely dried before he started using the proceeds to buy a controlling interest in the Lakeshore Railroad, a competing line. Then rapidly, by the same methods, he took control of the Canada Southern and Michigan Central. The commercial interests looked on dumbfounded. Under their very eyes, a process of centralization was going on, of which they but dimly and stupidly grasped the purpose. Never seen it before. They hadn't any real clue of the concept of corporation and how rapidly you could amass wealth. That competition, which they had so long shouted for as the only sensible, true moral system, and which they had sought to buster by enacting law after law, was being irreverently ground to pieces, all right? So you see a way in, and you muscle your way in. Other people, you know, the smaller entrepreneur, had set up all of these laws to serve their purposes. And Vanderbilt just looked at the whole thing as a gray shoot. This guy is basically illiterate. Didn't write anything down, you know. He's another one of these, in the beginning, was the word kind of guys. Didn't write nothing down. But apparently he was able to read well enough to sit down and read the stocks every morning, which he did. Out of their own ranks were rising men trained in their own methods, who were amplifying and intensifying those methods to shatter the class from which they had sprung. So you go back and look at University of Chicago, Leo Strauss, the neocons emerging. All right, there had been graft and corruption in government for a long time. But in the last 25 years, the last 30 years, heck, from the time of Richard Milhouse Nixon forward, they have just greased this chute. And they're taking every dime that they can out of here. They're bankrupting us. Out of their own ranks, again, were rising men trained in their own methods who were amplifying and intensifying these methods to shatter the class from which they had sprung. All right, the middle class being shattered. The different grades of the property class, now listen, the property class, from the merchant with his fortune of $250,000. Now, just the other day, in the tax law that was passed, extending the Bush tax cuts, we use $250,000 as a baseline here, all right, for wealth and wealthy. Well, Dorothy, at this time, the time of this writing, a merchant that had a fortune of $250,000 or a quarter of $1 million, he really was rolling in the chips. Today, $250,000 to buy you a decent truck and a small house, all right? Anyway, the merchant with his fortune of $250,000 to the retail tradesman felt very comfortable in being able to look down with a conscious superiority upon the working class. So you see, who are the middle class? Not the working class, the middle class. These are these mid merchants with fortunes of $250,000. Let's just say it's somebody that opening up a series of, like, Meeks hardware stores all across Missouri and the Midwest, for instance, or somebody like somebody that owns all of the O'Reilly auto parts stores, or somebody that opens up a small line of grocery stores, or maybe somebody that owns three or four small banks, all right? These are people that we're really talking about, that is the middle class, that is the target. It's the target of this communist system. Well, we'll just continue here. Again, the different grades of the property class, from the merchant with his fortune of $250,000 to the retail tradesman, felt very comfortable in being able to look down with a conscious superiority upon the working class from whom their money was wrung. Now, you look at the people who work for government, you know, they got a $150,000 a year paycheck. Maybe they're a superintendent of schools. They're bringing home $600,000. You know, I heard about that out in St. Louis area in Missouri, $600,000. Maybe they live in $1.5 million, you know, dollar home. They come to and from, you know, in these big $45,000 SUVs, right? Looking down their nose upon the in their false sense of security and superiority, looking down their nose at the working class, the little guys. Let him who disputes this consult the phrases that went the rounds, phrases some of which are still current, as, for instance, the preaching that the moderately well-to-do class is the solid, substantial element of any country. How many times have you heard that the middle class is the backbone of America? Well, that phrase has been knocked around for 100 years. Now, when this mercantile class saw itself being far overtopped and overclassed in the only measurement to which it attached any value, that of property, by men with vast riches and power, it began to feel its relegation. And they cry out and they cry out, you know, off with their heads, off with their heads. Amazing, isn't it? Nothing changes. Although its ideal was money. Curious. Although its ideal was money. And although it set up the acquisition of wealth as the all-stimulating incentive. Oh, yeah. The love of money being the root of all evil. And goal of human effort. I'll say it again. Although its ideal was money, 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 and although it set up the acquisition of wealth as the all-stimulating incentive and goal of human effort, it viewed sullenly and enviously the development of an established magnate class, which could look haughtily and dictatorially down upon it, even as it constantly looked down upon the working class. Everybody gets a little moment in the sun, you know, you reach up your hand for power, you get a little bit of power, and the mercantilists, you know, and the state legislators and the state senators, you know, the state senate whores, they have their little moment in the sun, but their triumph, they're eclipsed by the U.S. Senate, they're eclipsed by the amount of money that the U.S. Congress whores get paid, right? They're eclipsed. They didn't even know how to approach somebody like a Lloyd Blankfein or Cohen, right? Jamie Dimon. Can't even touch the dude. The only thing he can say to George Soros is, sir. You know? The factory owner and the shopkeeper had for decades commanded the passage of summary legislation by which they were enabled to fleece the worker and render him incapable of resistance. See how they passed the baton? All the special interests, all the lobbies. Go up and look at that Corporation Nation video one more time and think about all of those various nonprofits, all those non-governmental organizations, all those 501c3s and c4s, all those standing and continuing committees, all of those pension funds, and they're all out there buying their way into legislation, and lots of it through the control of stock shares and companies, you know. And these are these middlings. These are the ones that are the backbone of America. And yet at the top of these, they're still the great magnates. And they look down and they laugh and they laugh and they laugh.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so blowing through this 2 hours and into the final segment of today's broadcast, once again closing out this little bit more here from the Vanderbilt's Fortune Increasing Manifold. We're getting some really great material here. At least I think it is. I think it's very pertinent. It shows us how much things are basically the same. It's just that we're only new to the process, all right? So to keep the worker in subjection and in their power, again, these are this middle class, all right? This middle class that had their moment in the sun and had everybody, you know, their throat, you know, their jackboot on everybody's throat, but they were getting trumped here by the Trumps and the Vanderbilts and the Astors and the Carnegies and the Goulds and others, all right? To keep the worker in subjection and in their power, they considered a justifiable proceeding. But when they saw the railroad magnates applying those same methods to themselves, by first wiping out competition and then by enforcing edicts regardless of their interests, they burst out in furious rage, you know. They denounced the Vanderbilts as a bandit whose methods were a menace to the community. To the onlooker, this campaign of virulent assault was an extremely suggestion. If there was any one line of business in which fraud was not rampant, the many official reports and court proceedings of the day don't show it. All right. So it was a system-wide failure. Vanderbilts and other shrewdies, sharpies like himself, just took advantage of it. They capitalized on it. They were the great capitalists. They were the captains of finance and industry. Into our Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, continuing to wend our way through this article on interstate commerce, we find this. The taxation of a subject and the use of that subject as a measure of taxation has a real economic significance. Anything you put a tax on, if you can tax it, man, if you can tax it, it has economic significance. It's a multiplier effect. It's not just a one-time occurrence. It's an intergenerational intaking of money from a wider and a broader spectrum as the southern borders remain wide open and we scour the south, you know, the browning down of America. We scour the southern hemisphere to drag them up here so they can be tax slaves like the rest of us. In that the subject will indicate in the light of experience and analysis whether the tax will fall disproportionately upon interstate commerce. A broad subject is a reasonable guarantee that the incidence of the tax will be equitable. Just follow along now, shifting authors. This has been recognized in decisions upholding a tax on property. Even though the property is used in interstate commerce or valued by its connection with that commerce and a gross receipts tax levied in lieu of a property tax. But in dealing with franchise taxes, the court has given the subject of the tax a more formal importance. If applied to a corporation doing solely interstate business, the tax has been held invalid. Although if the corporation does both interstate and intrastate business, the tax may be levied in respect of the latter. The court, in sustaining a net income tax, even as applied to income from interstate commerce, based itself frankly on economic considerations. In contrast to the gross receipts tax, the net income tax is imposed only to the extent that the commerce is profitable and does not vary directly with the amount of the commerce. And all of this, now, we're starting to see why were the authors writing the way they were writing? Why was Felix Frankfurter writing this article, former U.S. Supreme Court Justice and aide de camp for President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, right? Why is he writing and pointing in these things? Well, because this is what was going down. We had the expansion of the railroad systems coming in the same time period, these two books being contemporary, all right? This is all happening. And there was quite a discussion about interstate versus intrastate commerce. As you can see, in the beginning, Vanderbilt, Nashville, and the others, they were piling up wealth, buying up these small intrastate railroads, even the intercity railroads or inner-city railroads. And then they were extending them out. They were combining them into crossing state lines. And now we had interstate commerce coming on in a much newer way. In short, if the state frames its taxing system wisely, even interstate commerce can be made to pay its share for the support of the states wherein it operates. Of course, it's paying for the share of the states, all right? But again, what did we find? What do we find reading this book from Myers? We find that the captains of finance and industry not only were able to buy the legislation they needed to get the things done that they wanted, but they were also able to buy the judges to make sure they got the rulings they needed in court. They were able to buy the congressmen themselves, all right, to make sure that legislation came in. They were able to buy the lawyers and insert them into the government so that they could be sure and get the legislation crafted just the way that they wanted it. And then they influenced all the labor laws and all of the interstate laws and all of the intrastate laws to their own ends. And that's the world we live in today, and it continues. An epitome of the whole process of legal adjustments under the Commerce Clause is presented by the original package doctrine. All right, now I'm going to skip over a little bit of the original package doctrine. But the idea basically is if you sell, let's say, a one-pound sack of tobacco in the Netherlands, whether it be Denmark or Holland, however you want to look at it, whether it be in Missouri or elsewhere, as long as it remains in the same package, it could go across state lines. But if it goes across in a different package or becomes repackaged in the other location, all right, then there's a new interstate activity happening, and they'll come into it. Now, I'm going to stop on that because it gets to be too confusing. The last few years have witnessed an efflorescence of federal authority having its roots in the Commercial Clause. Again, this encyclopedia published 1927, and he's saying the last 50 years. So from the 1870s forward, have witnessed an efflorescence or a blooming of federal authority having its roots in the Commerce Clause. So they found those few words in the Constitution, and now they're starting to make hay with it. And again, that Commerce Clause was to mitigate mark a reprisal on the borders between the colonies. All right, it's that point of intersection, which is why we need a central bank of some sort to effect clearing between one group and another, one state, if you will, and another, one colony and another, and all of the friction and all of the fuck, or the what do they call it, the ruckus happens right along those state lines on those tiers of counties. All right, because you can sneak things across the border, including illegal aliens. In considering the extent to which the dominant forces of modern economic society have thereby come under federal control, certain tendencies and limitations are suggested. The older forms of transportation and communication have been brought under broad national supervision. In other words, horse and buggy and cart and cartage and the coasting trade and all of that. It's all been brought under broad national supervision at the time of this writing. The Interstate Commerce Act of 1887, now we're on our topic, of 1887, applicable in varying degrees to railroads and their water connections, express and sleeping car companies, we talked about the Pullman Company, pipelines, telephone, telegraph, and cable companies, marks the first step. Right? So we go back to the beginning and look, you know, as Hal Anthony likes to say, we get the black and the white in our eyes. We go back to the beginning and start tracking forward some of these things that have just metastasized within the body politic like a cancer, killing us under them. We need to understand the origins to be able to understand where we are today so that we can look into the future and visualize a greater freedom, less and less of this tyrannical and despotic control. But we need to understand this stuff so that we don't wind up proposing cures that are worse than the disease. A second type of federal commercial legislation enacts prohibitions and penalties like those found in police, state police power and enactments. And the whole idea of state police was relatively novel and new. All right. And Gustavus Myers talks about that, too. But this idea, a second type of federal commercial legislation enacts prohibitions and penalties like those found in state police power enactment. So the federal government was arrogating unto itself those powers that had previously been reserved to the states. In this group are the Lottery Ticket Acts of 1895. All right? The lottery. All now across America, it's supposed to fund the schools, you know, blah, blah, blah. The tobacco tax, the Food and Drugs Act of the 1906. And boy, there was reason for that. We'll get into that again. But, I mean, when you think about food and drugs, what kind of drugs were they talking about? Well, they were talking about opium. They were talking about opium. But they couldn't get clean opium. By the time it got to wherever, you know, Joe Blow's pharmacy, by the time it got there, it was loaded up with licorice and all manner of other things. And it was no good. The Mann Act of 1910. The Dyer Act, automobile larcenies of 1919, the Packers and Stockyards Act of 1921, the Grain Futures Act of 1922. This class of enactments, it is manifest, deal with activities closely related to the physical movement of persons and things. A third type of federal control, well, doggone. We'll have to get that the next time. Folks, thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow. Bye-bye.
One county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties, a few years ago. In fact, Morona's called his work a dire prophecy. And it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica10.com. Although this video may be offensive to some audiences, it's worth checking out. Again, that's www.endofamerica10.com.
Does ordinary talk radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting.